still my soul. Be still. Be still my soul. Be still.
In this time that we're all sheltering in place and everybody is having to stay in their homes, and I imagine that looks a little bit different for everybody. Here's what it sort of looks like in my home, because all four of my children are there and they've all got work to do in some way. They've got classwork to do for school. So everyone has to find this quiet corner in the house to do the work that's there for us to do. And we all have to share the internet bandwidth to be online at the same time. And sometimes in normal life, where we can each go to our own places, our classrooms and our work offices and that kind of thing, that all works out. But now that every single one of us is trying to do it inside of our home, now that we've got to share the space. And in sharing the space, we find these places where we sort of bump into each other and we're trying to find quiet corners, and we all want to find that place where it fits just for us. So maybe you've heard the phrase before, stay in your lane, right? When someone sort of gets into our space, gets in the space where they're not wanted or they're unnecessary, we would tell them to get back in their lane, stay in your lane. We're all looking for what lane we want to be in right now and trying to keep other people out of that lane to be separate from one another. Well, today, looking at Psalm 131, in the Psalm of Ascents, this psalm is a little bit of a stay in your lane kind of psalm. Let's look at what that means. Here's how that psalm goes. It's only three verses long. The psalmist writes this: My heart is not proud, O Lord. My eyes are not haughty. I do not concern myself with great matters or things too wonderful for me. But I have calmed and quieted myself. I am like a weaned child with its mother. Like a weaned child, I am content. Put your hope in the Lord, both now and forevermore. This psalm then, three verses that say a little something about staying in your lane, what that looks like. So since this psalm is so short, let me just describe some of the features that take place here so we can see what the psalmist is up to. In these three verses, you see a movement that takes place. The first verse is all about a negative statement, right? Things that the psalmist will not do. He's not proud. I'm not proud. I am not haughty. I am not concerned with great matters. That these are things that come as a way of describing how he's before the Lord in what he will not do, not allow to happen. The second verse flips from negative to positive. So now instead of the things that I will not do, it's all the things that I will do. I am calmed or stilled. I'm quieted. I am content. You see, all these ways of describing how it is the psalmist comes before the Lord. And then the third verse is actually an echo of the psalm before, of Psalm 130, which ends with this exact same phrase and the exact same statement, Israel, put your hope in the Lord, a conclusion to the matter. How does this work then? How does this life of contentment find its way in through these few verses that the psalmist shares with us today? Contentment is hard to find in today's world, isn't it? We are not people who are easily contented. We're not satisfied. In fact, if you were to look in a dictionary, that's what you would find for contentment, that contentment is a state of satisfaction. Now, I imagine that for some of us, we catch glimpses of that. Let me give you an example. That when my family or friends gather and we share a big meal together, like a holiday meal, Thanksgiving meal, there's plenty of good food to eat. I have my fill. Okay, I admit I have more than my fill, and I am satisfied. My appetite is satisfied. I am content. But follow me with this now. Give it a few hours. Several hours later, and guess what? I'm hungry again. That is a contentment that lasted for a short time, right? That it's a contentment that is momentary, that is isolated to a certain and specific set of circumstances. And isn't it true for so many of us that when we think about what it means to be content and we talk about our contentment, that's what we talk about. That is what we mean. When I say I am content, what I really mean is I catch these momentary, isolated glimpses of satisfaction that never seem to last. They're isolated to some circumstance that's happening right around me right now. But sooner or later, that contentment, that satisfaction is gone. It goes away. That, I think, is what contentment means for most of us when we think about or talk about being content. Psalm 131 takes contentment to a different place, a different level. It's a different kind of contentment that's talked about there. A contentment that's rooted within our souls. It's not based upon some momentary circumstance. It's not based upon something that is here for just a while and then gone, but rather it's something that is a posture, an intentional posture of our souls. Something that then takes root deep within our souls, something then that doesn't let go because it encompasses not just a moment or not just an isolated part of my world or where I'm at now, but it encompasses my whole being, my soul, my life. That sounds great. Contentment like that sounds awesome. But let's be honest, because contentment like that is something that you and I are not very good at. We don't do that well, do we? We're searching for that kind of a contentment and what that means and what that looks like. So how does that come across to us? How do we catch something of what this psalmist is saying today about that kind of contentment that's not momentary and isolated, but it's a satisfaction that is rooted in my soul? And it has a little something to do with staying in my lane. You see, because this kind of contentment, the way we see it expressed in this psalm, is a contentment that acknowledges that we have limitations, right? It takes a certain form of humility, that I am humble before the Lord. And being humble means that I accept and acknowledge that I have limitations. There are things that I cannot do. There are things that I need to accept and be content or satisfied with being beyond the boundaries of what I can grasp, of what I can understand. We're not good at that. But this is how the psalmist puts that then. He says it in these words. He says, I do not concern myself with great matters or things too wonderful for me. The word concern that we see here in the Hebrew language is a word that in Hebrew literally means walk around or walk about or walk among. It is though the psalmist is saying to you and I, you know what, do not walk about in places that are beyond your grasp, places which exceed your understanding. Know your limitation. Know where it is you don't belong. That's what he's saying here. That I know and acknowledge I don't belong in those places. That I don't understand everything that happens beyond what I can know for certain. In other words, stay in your lane. Stay in the place where God has put you. Now, I admit, I'm content to stay in my place as long as I get to choose what that place is, right? I will stay in my lane when I get to choose that lane. And most of our lives seem to operate that way. Yep, that's fine. God, I'll stay in my lane, but you know what? I'm really the one in control of what that lane is, of where I am going, of what that looks like. And now we're living in a time when it seems like all of our lives are on a detour, I'm not in the lane that I choose for my life anymore, but now I have been pushed off that lane and on some kind of a detour. And it's a detour in which we're all trying to find out and figure out as we go along in this global pandemic of how life is supposed to go. How do we live now? It's as though we're even having trouble identifying what kind of lane that is. It's sort of this backcountry off-road 4x4 mode where there is no lane. So how am I supposed to know what lane I'm supposed to be in or where God has placed me when I can't even identify a grounding right now of where it is life is supposed to be going? Because this is not the lane that I chose. It's not what I'd rather be doing right now. So what happens when life is thrown into that kind of a detour? What happens when we go into sort of that mode of living outside of the lane that I chose for myself and that I wanted to be in or thought I should be in? We start asking some questions then, and particular, maybe we start asking some questions of God. I ask, where is God in all of this? What is God up to? How is God or why is God allowing these things to happen that disrupt our world so much? Not just my life and not just your life, but it's global. It's happening everywhere. It's around the world. Where is God in that? That's a question we ask. And in asking that, you know what? It's a bit of a wake-up call. I will have to admit that. It's sort of a wake-up call for me to admit that in asking and wondering where God is in all of this, that I begin to realize a few things. I begin to realize, first of all, how much I've been trying to control my own lane, my life, where it is that I make plans to go, and doing that in a way that sort of switches around where God is and how God fits into that. And then I realize along the way that not only have I been trying to control my own lane, but in doing that, here's what I have to admit, that I've also been trying to control God's lane, right? It's a world in which we live, in which when things don't go the way that I think they should or plan they should, it's as though I am saying to God, God, you need to get back to the job of, you know, being in your lane, doing the things that I think you should do so that my life can get back to being in my lane, you know, living my life the way that I think my life should go. I have to admit that we find ourselves in a moment like that, of having to acknowledge and confess before God that I've been trying to control my own lane and tell God what lane to be in as well. But now instead I find myself in this place where I need to align myself to follow God instead of trying to align God to follow me. It's a little bit ironic, maybe. There's an ironic piece of the biblical story, that larger biblical story that fits in here, right? The larger part of the biblical story where we would see and know that God, in fact, did not stay in his own lane. Jesus came and very intentionally worked his way into our world, into our lane, into our lives. He went down the path that we go down. He took the journey that we never could, and he took it for us. You see, he did not stay in his own lane, but he merged into our world so that he could take our place. A journey that brought him down a road that went to the cross, because if you and I had to admit it, then we would know that that's the lane that we should have been on. That's the place where we should have gone in our own brokenness and our sin. But Jesus came and took that for us. And isn't it ironic then that the Pharisees and the religious leaders and scholars of the time in which Jesus lived all pushed back against Jesus and said, hey, get out of our lane, get back in your lane. You don't belong in this area of authority and expertise. Who are you to come in and butt into our affairs that way? And isn't that exactly what we're confronting this morning, today? That, hey, if I have to be honest, it looks like the lives that we lead are trying to do the exact same thing, to tell God what lane to be in, where to belong, how to act in ways that I want him to be, so that I can stay in control of my life. So maybe it's not so bad today that we acknowledge limitations. Maybe it's not so bad that we accept the limitations that we have upon our lives and approach God in humility. And maybe it's not so bad that we let our soul be content, satisfied with where God has placed us. A place where I can truly say, put your hope in the Lord today and forever. Let's close this time with prayer. Would you pray with me? God, thank you that you are our hope. Thank you that you have taken our place and walked the road that we should have walked, but never could. A road that took you to the cross, so that we now could be given a new way to live, a new path, one as your adopted sons and daughters, part of your family. Lord, we pray today that you would give us, once again, a deep-rooted contentment and satisfaction in our souls that comes from you, knowing that you are our hope. Lord, we confess and we are sorry for the times when we've tried to take over and take our own lane and tell you where to go and make a lane for you. Lord, help us to see once again the ways that you lead us back to living within the goodness of your providential care for our lives. We thank you for that. And we pray this in the name of Jesus, our Savior. Amen.